Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for Coz, Low, and Dibs. Featuring Jim Cosimore.
So you just shut your yapper.
Lorenzo Neal.
Because it's a diddle diddle, kittle down the middle.
And Dan Dibley.
Dan Dibley here. Squirt.
On 95.7 The Game.
Welcome to a Football Friday. Whitey in for Coz today. Whitey Low and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. First things first, I apologize. Dibs, I need your help with something. Obviously, you know, getting up early again, a little fuzzy, no excuse.
Yeah.
Being here. But I don't know if I imagined this or if this really happened. That's my question. I just kind of had this weird half dream, I'm not sure. You were talking soccer with some guy doing a really, really rough British accent. Was that a dream I had, or did that actually happen?
It was all a dream.
Okay.
Whitey, I used to read Word Up magazine, but in actuality, he's from Britain, or ostensibly of British
are.
Lineage. Well, yes, and so ballpark, as we like to say on this program, because his parents are from England, he becomes British, and thus the accent becomes authentica. And by the way, the beautiful game of soccer, the great Premier League breakdown, all the cuts he played, and the way he tries to hang on to that accent like a cat with the claws dug into the tree, knowing full well how this ends. But
yeah.
So my enjoyment comes not only from talking soccer, but also trying to see how many times I can chip away at his beloved facade.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I love Steven. I've actually worked with Steven. You know, he used to work with you and I years ago.
Yep.
I worked on the air with him, and I worked with him one time. It was the day after the 49ers beat the Rams in that Saturday game last year, and I actually went into Danny. I'll never forget it. I said, Danny, this guy's really good. And Danny said, you know, I'm really busy. So anyway, but my point, I have stuff to do. So I love the guy, and I know he's got people that are going to come after me now, but I mean, my goodness, you know, if it's like if you're a pitcher, right? You're an up-and-coming pitcher. Fastball, man, you got a lot of zip on that thing.
Yeah,
curveball, pretty good. Slider needs work. So you don't go out there and start throwing your slider.
Right? Don't throw the slider. Throw the slider. I think of it low as he's kind of low like that defensive lineman. Not a defensive end, but an interior guy where he rushes the passer. It's a complete collapse of the pocket, and the ball pops out. And you look over, and somehow number 73 is bending over slowly to pick up the football at the 47-yard line, and there's nothing but green grass in front of him, and no one notices. So now big fella rumbles to the 45, to the 40. He starts to see the goal line at the 35 and at the 30. By the time he gets to about the 20-yard line, the cavalry has arrived. And now you got six guys on his back, and you're just trying to hold on to that football, 72.
Pre-game show, premier plays of the week, next Friday, 5:50. Tune in.
All right. Okay.
Good for you, Steve.
I love haters.
Steven is really good.
Thank you.
Steven is really
good.
You just don't want to keep throwing that slider. That's not your best pitch. That's all.
Just hang on to the football, Steve.
Yeah.
Just hang on.
Yeah. And I know we've talked about this before
haters.
When I've been on the show. His parents are from England, and they laugh at his accent. That's terrible, Steven. That's a terrible accent, bloke. And he's still
hang on. You can't put that accent
it's
out there and just and
right,
absolutely trash mine. Like, come on. You just sounded Australian.
Well, it depends what part of England you're from, doesn't it, mate? You're a little Cockney in there, or else, you know, it depends if you're from London or not. That's all I'm saying.
Steven,
I'm not doing
these
it during
guys
soccer.
Are killing you today.
I know.
Wow.
It's Friday.
I love the guy. And Dibs is with him every day. You know, I'm sure Dibs is taking him under his wing. I'm trying to be helpful. That's all.
I'm praising the bit, and I'm praising the effort because, as you know, Whitey, being a voice guy, whether it's your Donald Duck that comes out every now and again. Let's hear a little Donald. You do Mickey Mouse.
You can't understand it. You cornered
really good.
So
that's good. Actually, that's good, though.
What would Mickey say about Mickey Mouse? What would Mickey Mouse say about Steven?
I don't know, Steven. That's not your strongest accent. I don't know what part of England you're from there, San Jose.
No, he's so, great. And here it comes on the text line. Whitey, stop going after our boy from the 5 a.m. crew. See, I knew that was coming. This is out of love, I'm telling you.
It's tough love is what it is. I admire the courage. You know, you look at an eight-minute bit, and you get 60 seconds in, and you think, holy crap. And we've all been there where,
we're getting out of this, yeah.
Low, you've done your low on love, and it's like, man, how deep do I go?
I wanna get out of here.
Where do I pull the ripcord, and how do I get out?
Yes,
you know?
Well, that's a great point.
John and Close, look for the exit.
Yeah, exactly. It's a great point.
Looking for the exit right now.
Yeah. Anyway,
more shots of Steven first, and then we can get him.
Steven, that was wonderful. And
this whole segment was on Steven.
The great game of soccer. Well, now it's time to pivot here a little bit. Lo, it's time to play Does Lo Remember? I think you will remember this. Last night, Thursday Night Football, of course, Joe Burrow and the Bengals coming up short against Cleveland. Joe Burrow, 37 completions, the most by a rookie in NFL history. Joe Burrow's attempts here, 61 attempts, second most in the history of the Bengals franchise. So does Lo remember which of your former teammates threw 68 passes in a Bengals game once? That's the most in Bengals franchise history. A clue, you caught two of them. Does Lo remember before he answered? That's right. There you go.
Yes!
I knew you'd remember.
Yeah. Didn't need to phone a friend. Didn't need to use the 50-50. Look at Lo Neal. Yes, baby.
Oh, well,
look at the big brain on Brett.
He wasn't. Well, that was easy. Right. That was a layup. The Black Knight, he wasn't throwing the ball. Kelly Smith, my God, I told you about that guy there. Yeah, I love him, good person, but my goodness. Picking that guy, top two picks overall, man, Cincinnati got a lemon. And then Scotty Mitchell was, when he came there, was pretty much done. Kitna was the guy who, you know, guys looked up to. At least he tried hard. You knew he was going to be there and talent-wise. But last night, guys, you guys gonna start believing your boy. You guys laughed at me, talked about how cold my take was and all those things. What did I tell you about this Burroughs kid? What did I tell you guys about this guy in the pocket, could run, do certain things? You know, they should have won that game. On the 1 yard line, I thought that was a touchdown, but they didn't bring him back and they ended up kicking a field goal. But I was just telling you guys, the 10 points Dibs that you wanted to give me, what happened? What happened?
I didn't want to give you ten points.
I
have a pool where I make picks with the spread, and I took the Bengals in the six. So I don't know why you're coming down my road.
Told you. Come on, you're not going to give me no props. You're not going to tell me that I changed you. You're not going to tell me that you guys are like, oh yeah, talking about this and Cleveland's going to crush them and all. And I said, all right, put your money where your mouth is. And he said, that's a cold take. Steven, check the tape. Now, see, Steven, that would have been a time for you to jump in and be a good British lad. Yeah, mate, and jump in, mate, and save the day.
Oh, no, that was terrible.
We've never crossed that river before. That was an incredible effort.
Okay.
Dibs, this is incredible to me. Lo Neal, without hesitation, remembers December 30th, New Year's Eve 2001, when his Bengals beat the Steelers in overtime. Remembers that without hesitation. But he can't remember what you said or what I said yesterday.
Right.
All I said yesterday was, I don't pick against the Bengals. That's all I said. And then you and he were going back and forth. That's all I said.
All I said was,
I don't know where this is coming from.
Yeah, and I was wrong yesterday when I said that was going to be the 256th best game of the year because that game was pretty entertaining. Good old-fashioned shootout. There was plays made and plays not made. And even though the game wasn't as close as the final score would indicate, a little backdoor cover action, there was points, there was plays, it moved. And congratulations to Joe Buck. Hall of Famer on the call. Yeah, and you have an unbelievable predilection against Joe Buck, which is your own angry cross to bear. But those of us who understand broadcasting, those of us who've won Emmys at the highest level, understand how great he is, how professional he is, self-effacing and humble.
Well, I know you and I interviewed him once.
Can I ask you guys something?
Great. Well, let me just say this, Lo, on your behalf. The reason I boo sure. Joe Buck getting in the Hall of Fame is because Lo Neal is probably not going to get in the Hall of Fame. Let's hope he does. He's probably not. But Joe Buck does? Come on. Boo. That's why I boo Dibs. That's why I
yeah. But you understand. Wow. You understand it's two different processes, two different wings. It's not like Joe's going to go up there with a gold jacket and, you know, and say.
It's a Hall of Fame,
you
know. Isn't it? Is he in the Hall
yeah,
of Fame?
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. Sure. But the Ford C. Frick Award winner doesn't immediately hammer his plaque down in front of Hank Aaron in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Ford C. Frick. Frick. Okay. Look it up, you two.
Okay. It's the same. He's quick and just rolled off your tongue like butter. Yeah. Ford C. Frick.
It's like butter, baby. It's like butter.
Yeah. No, that's just wrong. Joe yeah. Buck, and he didn't even know. He's like, what? I'm Hall of Fame. Whoa, this is great. You're probably not going to get in there, and I know you're a candidate again this year, so maybe you do. But Joe Buck is like, here you go, Joe. Oh, and while you're standing there working, hey, by the way, Hall of Fame, and you're probably not getting it. That's why I boo Joe Buck in this case, Dibs. As I said, I know you and I interviewed him once on this very station. He's very humble and self-defecating, if I may.
Whoa.
He's very self-defecating.
That's not the way we describe people. That's the way we describe a good ground game that way.
Defense.
A defecating run offense.
Yes.
Lo, what did you think of Baker last night? Yesterday, you and I and Dibs, we were saying, look, there are some teams that have quarterbacks that they've hitched their wagons to, and they probably shouldn't, and they don't know it yet. And we mentioned Baker. He was pretty good last night. He has thrown an interception in eight straight games now, but some would have us believe that he's turned a corner. They got him outside the pocket a little bit last night, and he's going to be more effective that way. What do you think?
Outside the pocket, I thought that ball, the touchdown to 13, the guy that, you know, showed
OBJ
the ball, OBJ, showing that he can still stretch the field. And he was open so much last night. He could have threw for 500 yards if he really would have thrown the ball. So I'm still not high on Baker. Yeah, he played, you know, did pretty well. They won the game. So you got to give him his props. But I thought last night OBJ was open. The officials missed so many calls. Now, you can admit, Dibs, you officials were horrible. Did you guys, when you were watching it last night, was it Spanish? My TV was Spanish.
Jose Buck on the call.
Buck and those, I could see those, I could hear them a little bit behind, but it was in Spanish. I was like, what the hell is going on here? I didn't have subcaps on or anything like that, subtitle. Yeah. And I was like, wow. Did you guys have that problem or no?
That's exactly that how I felt here in Stephen today, this morning. I felt the exact. I felt the exact.
Sorry, Stephen. I'm sorry.
Yeah. All right. Hey, coming up here. Hey, Boston, your Shamrocks are melting.
Oh,
that is next. Yeah, we'll answer that question coming up next, Lo. Whitey, Lo, and Dibs, 95.7 the game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
This segment presented by Golden State, open from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, with some locations open on Saturday. Visit goldenstatelumber.com for more information. Whitey, Lo, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. A football Friday. Yay! Coles will be back on Monday. Don't worry. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Thanks for your participation at 888-957-9570 on the text line from the 209. Bring back Does Lo Know?
I don't know who that is.
Oh, it's great. It's a mystery guest segment, Whitey, where our producer, John Curley,
yeah, I have heard that, yes.
he books a guest, and then we play a game of Does
right.
Lo Know? This is the boss, Matt Nahegian. Does he know? We know about Lo,
right.
And we know about no, but the key to the bit, the does. Does Lo know? Does he know? 10 questions, yes or no.
Does he?
Does Lo know?
Wow.
And a little bonus to Higgian from British guy Steven.
Like
so, yes, John Curley, I see you laughing and woofing and stomping. Get off your butt and start booking guests for Does Lo know? Does John book? That's the real question.
From the sounds a little bit like somebody else. From the 408, listen to a game called by John Miller and won by Joe Buck. Do you really think they're in the same category, dude? John Miller, Hall of Famer. Joe Buck, Hall of Famer?
Seeing how Joe Buck was calling a football game and he went into the Football Hall of Fame, I don't believe that John Miller has called a lot of NFL games. Now, baseball versus baseball, again, John Miller does radio and Joe Buck does TV. So let's get better analogies on a Friday, people. Let's step up your game.
Said the guy who won an Emmy once.
Don't come at him so hard, Dibbies.
Yeah. I know that the Emmys are this weekend. Dibs won an Emmy. Ooh. That's pretty
impressive. Yes, big. You know what, Whitey? It was a local Emmy, and if it wasn't for Mark Wolfson, the director, David Feldman, the producer, Kelly Gray, my partner, and the most unbelievable soccer game in Bay Area history, that's what carried me to it. I just happened to be there.
Gotcha. Wonderful, wonderful. Let's see here from the 415. Well, the Giants hit their win total. Who lost the bet? We'll talk more about the Giants here coming up in 10 minutes. But that was bad news for you, wasn't it, Dibs, with the Giants victorious yesterday?
It's all bad news. It just depends on how you look at it, because according to Lowe, it's good news, as in, have you heard the good news? Which is apparently where I'm going. I'm one win away from...
Go ahead, boy.
From eternal salvation. I'm going from damnation to salvation on the backs of Donnie Barrels and, Gosman. Kevin Gosman's going to be responsible for the saving of my soul. So shout out Gabe Kapler, who I think Lowe used to call him Gabe Gaffler, which I thought was clever early on. But,
no.
I've heard that.
No. That was you and Steinmetz. You guys never heard
Steinmetz.
That.
It was Whitey who came up with it. We don't all look alike, okay?
Oh, that's stiff.
LMAO. Did I say Stein? No. Whitey did was on. It's wrong. You guys calling the guy Gappler. That was wrong. I, you know what? I looked at this team, and now it's great that you're going to be going to church. And the good news, it is good. The good news. You're right. The good news, the four Gospels. Should have got four out of it, because there's the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I should have said four instead of three.
By the time you get halfway through Mark, though, that thing's a tune out. Let's be honest. Let's just skip ahead to Revelations where the action happens.
Wow. That is some, wait, what? Wow.
You know, Matthew's a good table setter. Mark, they kind of really show you where they're going, and then it's just a bunch of pad.
Hey. I've always been a Deuteronomy guy. I don't know.
That's Old Testament. Old Testament comes out hot with the Pentateuch. The first five books are great, and then it kind of lapses into a who's who of Jebediah's, and it's like, okay, let's get to Jesus. Well, the New Testament starts with a bang, but it's a giant tune
out.
The
Old Testament was talking about the Old Testament was telling who
I
was
get
coming.
It, Lo, I
knew.
Get it.
The old, yeah, no, I know you do. You're great though with it. I'm excited. Pastor Ron's excited.
Let's just get the fire and brimstone, okay? We know how this all goes down. Let's just. I'm the guy who reads the back cover of a book. I read the back page of the book first thing.
Right. Sure. Yeah. Well, more on the Giants, bottom of the hour. But speaking of fire and brimstone, oh my goodness. Boston Celtics falling to the Heat last night. So the Heat take that 2-0 lead in the NBA Eastern Conference Finals. Marcus Smart is not happy. By the way, there have been some people who have suggested, hey, maybe he'd be a good fit with the Warriors, but why would Boston ever let Marcus Smart go? Well, he went ballistic after the loss last night. Left the locker room yelling. Have you ever witnessed this on one of your teams, Lo? Y'all on some bull bleep. Yeah. Throwing things. Oh. Yeah. Let's see here. Kemba Walker almost called him Foots Walker. Kemba Walker said it was nothing. It was nothing. Coach Stevens said guys were emotional after a hard loss. But Marcus Smart was not happy with his teammates last night after they got a big lead and lost to the Heat.
Yeah. And, you know, Dibs has been on Boston. It's been a good team. I've been on Miami and. And this is one of those times that you look at Boston, team that's good team. These are two teams that just are tough. You look at the two teams in the East, the ones are still left. They both got fight in them, but I don't know. I don't know, Dibs, is that's a chink in the armor when you see some of the guys arguing and yelling and doing those things carrying on. Is that a sign of, you know what, we're bad, we suck, and is that a sign of division in that locker room?
Well, you're going to find out what the team thinks about Marcus Smart based on how they perform in Game 3. Because out here in Golden State, we have our own snarling presence in Draymond Green. And when you see Draymond Green blow up, aside from the Kevin Durant thing, which was, you know, Kevin Durant's a unique player like that. You can't come at him in Draymondian fashion. But prior to that, Draymond has blown up at his teammates, maybe not so openly or so verbally, but the Warriors responded. So I think, Whitey, this is a good litmus test for not only the Celtics and how much metal they have, because they should be up 2-0 in this series. They've dominated 6.5 of 8 quarters, yet just a couple of flat, terrible spots have cost them.
Yeah, Miami is so hard
to guard.
Yeah,
we said that, Whitey.
Yeah, basketball, more than any other major sport, you've got everybody basically doing the same things. It's the least specialized. Baseball, you know, you got pitchers, catchers, everybody else. Football, you know, the quarterback and the offensive lineman, they're not doing the same thing. But in basketball, everyone's pretty much doing the same thing, and it's less specialized than it used to be. A team like Miami, everybody can shoot and defend and pass and dribble, so they're really hard to guard. Also, I wonder if maybe that Toronto series didn't take something out of the Celtics. To your point, Dibs, some people have tried to compare whatever happened last night to what Draymond Green did in the locker room 2016 in February when he famously went off in that famous Steph Curry hits the bomb game. It's kind of a rough comparison. There's not a lot in common there, but others have made that comparison that you just touched
on. I think it's just the comparison of a player who plays with that sort of fiery passion and how the team responds. And one of Lowe's favorite stories is Jimmy Butler in Minnesota walking in the gym and taking the four worst guys on the team and saying, "Hey, starters, you're about to get rolled," and going out there and rolling them.
Yeah.
But you saw what the response was. Minnesota's, you know, Carl Anthony Towns, they didn't step up and bow up and try to stop it. And so Jimmy's like, "Get me out of here. These guys aren't soldiers."
Right. They quit.
Jimmy, you're too mean.
Right. And exactly. And Jimmy said, "I can't play with a bunch of guys like that." And I don't think we're giving Miami just enough credit. Boston's playing good ball. You look at the Heat. They've been down like this all the series, you know, maybe trailing in games, but they just don't quit. Their tenacity, they stay in front of you. They just keep fighting. They keep scratching. And they wait for you to blink. They'll make you settle for jump shots. They'll make you not challenge because of the fact they're going to stay in front of you. So you start getting fatigued. "Oh, I'm going to take this jump. I'm not going to push as hard as I did." So mentally, you got to be ready for this Heat team because they're going to press you for four quarters and make them pull the best out of you. So Jimmy Buckets, man, is not getting enough credit. You think about this, Whitey. Last year, you look at the team and look how much they fell from grace. And I'm talking about the Philadelphia 76ers. One guy off that team. Jimmy Buckets made that team better. He was the glue of that particular team. And you saw the way after he left how that team came unglued.
All right. Thank you, Lo. Thank you, Dibs. Coming up here, what's coming up on the game brought to you by FastPass, by the way. What would a Giant postseason spot really mean, not only for Dibs and Lo, but for the Giants? That's next. Whitey, Lo, and Dibs, 95.7 the game.
Now back to 95.7 the game.
Lined into the gap, and nobody's there. We will watch Basabe. Is he going to score? You bet he is. And the Giants take the lead as Flores is headed to third with a triple.
Wilmer with the triple, courtesy of NBC Sports Bay Area. Whitey, Lowe, and Dibs on 95.7 the game. By the way, it's a football Friday, and coming up top of the hour, Cam Inman with the very latest on the 49ers. Get ready to play the Jets. And, of course, what's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fast Track. But the Giants with another win yesterday. One of the reasons they're in playoff position because they've been taking advantage of bad teams like Arizona, 4-0 against the Mariners. Mariners, by the way, were supposed to be home. So you guys got to go to San Francisco because it's smoky. Okay. And then so they play a couple games there. They get their lunch served to them. And then they're thinking, "Well, we'll go back home." Nah, sorry, still smoky. You guys got to go to San Diego now for your home stand. So poor Mariners. But that was a big win, right, in terms of your bet, Lo and Dibs, at Giants victory yesterday?
Absolutely. For me, I looked at this, and there were some times, Whitey, where the Giants, I think they were like 8-13.
8-16.
I'm sorry.
No,
and
you're good.
Things looked grim. No, I appreciate that, Dibs, bringing that light and just even sure that it was even more disparity than which I thought. And it looked dark. And it looked dark as midnight. And sometimes when you're in the storm, sometimes you can't see your way out. And you don't see out anywhere. And even sometimes the windshield wipers, you turn them on and maybe they're not as clean, so you forgot to change them, okay, so they don't work as well. And the Giants were looking at 8-16, and you looked and you said, "Oh, my goodness, I think I need a miracle." And you saw the team then said, "You know what, let's find a way to right the ship." And they started like a little train that said, "I think I can, I think I can." And it became reality. And now look where we're at today, because faith and because of works, the Giants are trying to enter into the playoffs. And can I get a hallelujah? Because Daniel Dibley and I will be sitting down holding hands in church singing Kumbaya. And I'm excited about that.
Dibs, I think faith has a lot to do with it, but I think the fact that you have more teams in the playoffs this year and they have a shorter season, I think that had more to do with it.
Wow.
In my opinion.
Wow.
That's my opinion.
Wow.
It, bottom line, they're a 500 team. They're reeking of mediocrity, but in this structure of 60 games and... Excuse me? What was that?
No, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. I just didn't want to interrupt, much like the New Testament. Your last take started out pretty good, and then it just meandered through the middle, and you tried to bring it home with a revelation, but ultimately I was left wanting. 60-game small sample mixed with eight teams in the playoffs. Yeah, the margin for success or failure is much more precise because you don't have as many games. So over 162, would this team be a playoff team in a normal year? I don't think so. Could they be 81-81? That might be the high water mark if they played a full slate.
But at the same sense, we could say that, you know what, with the way the season was set up and what we looked at the Giants, there's teams that there was people that said this team maybe won 20, 22 games. So I get what we're alluding to. But at the end of the day, they still have beaten quality opponents. They've shown that they have grit. You're down. You're 8-16, and all of a sudden you jump back in this thing. I think it's been impressive, and I don't think that we can just dismiss that. That's all I'm saying.
They're scoring runs. That's the thing. They're scoring runs. Yeah, you could see a lot of people thought, hey, you know what? You never know. Maybe they get hot here or there, and maybe they wiggle their way into the postseason. I don't think anybody saw this offense coming, but does it mean anything in terms of next year? They're in a rebuild. Basabe yesterday had to play because Yaz pulled a hamstring, and he had some quality at-bats, I'll tell you what. Which is nice, but what does this mean in terms of this overall, the big picture, the rebuild? Does it mean anything, Dibs, or is it just, you know what, this is nice, enjoy it, but you're really about where you were. You haven't really progressed much in the larger sense.
See, I think you have, because you have some players, even though they're not young players, Donovan Solano and Mike Yastrzemski among them, these are foundational pieces, not for a 10-year future, maybe not even a 5-year future, but how about that 2 to 3 year right. window to where you can get a bridge from this inexplicable season. However the season ends up, it's going to go down as a positive. Gabe Kapler has improved. The team is better than we thought. Farhan Zaidi clearly has found some diamonds in the rough. And these are players that the team has some control over. And so they're affordable. And you look at players like Brandon Crawford and Brandon Belt and all the rest, they're closer to being off the books. Samardzija is going to be gone. Longoria will be down to just two more seasons. Buster Posey, by the way, remember old Buster? He's still on this team. So next year he'll bring you some of that veteran presence. So I think that the rebuild is happening, maybe not from the youngsters up, but they found some players who are legitimate major leaguers.
Let me ask you guys something. When you look at where the Giants are now, and let's just stay with, I know, Dibs, we talk about it and you laugh about sometimes the catcher and more errors and the guy getting hit, interfering with the batter. We saw that would never happen with Buster. But if you think about what they've been using, far as just from a production standpoint, what have they gotten more than what you think they would have gotten from Buster?
I think that you've gotten, you know, you're looking at the totality of his career?
Yeah. No. Just for this particular year, you know what I mean? Since he's up and up, do you think the Giants are in better? It's a question that, you know, I want to ask you. Do you think the Giants have gotten better? Not knowledge-wise, not better. But
right. You mean just
forward.
The on-field play from the catcher,
yes.
From Heinemann,
yes,
Tromp, and Bart?
Yes.
Has that productivity been better than what Buster would have given you? It's hard to say.
Yes.
I think Buster would have given you a little bit maybe more batting average, but not as much power. He would have been better receiving pitches, but he can't throw like Joey Bart. And, you know, Chadwick Tromp has delivered some pop. So I'm going to say that this trio has done slightly better than what Buster would have done.
And I look at it this way. And by the way, the Giants, I mentioned, you know, they've taken advantage of the opportunities to beat some bad teams. And now they got to play a real team this weekend in the Bay Bridge Series. They got to play a real baseball team when they take on the A's. And Barry Zito is going to join us today at 9 o'clock, by the way, to talk about not only the Bay Bridge Series, but his brand new song, which is being released today. How about that? Barry Zito. Anyway, I would say, Lo, to me, they're in better shape just because Bart is here and he's proven that he belongs here. And I think that just moves your whole program forward. To Dib's point, numbers-wise, yeah. I mean, maybe they are better off than they would be with Buster. We won't know. It's possible. But I think in the larger sense, look, Joey Bart's here. He's getting better. He worked his way already through some growing pains. So I think they're much better off in that sense.
So next question, that's why I asked you guys that. The follow-up is, what do you do now when Buster comes back next year? Are you in a situation, if these guys, they continue to gel and continue to play as well as they are, how do you guys handle that? How is it from a manager perspective, Dibs, and from, you know, Farhan and you know, and Kapler, what are they going to do?
Well, I'm going to turn to one of Charlie Sheen's early movies. I think Tom Berenger was in that as well.
I can't wait to hear this one.
It's called Platoon, Lo. The movie was called Platoon, and it wasn't necessarily about a veteran catcher moving over to first base to face lefties. I believe it was about war, but you're going to see a situation where Buster's platooning over at first base with a guy by the name of Brandon Belt. And if I'm not mistaken, Whitey, the DH is going to stick around for another year. So there are at-bats there for not only Buster, but if Darren Ruff is going to return and be a DH for this team. Brandon Belt, we know, is going to face righties. And Buster's still going to catch a little bit. You're not going to throw Joey Bart out there for 150 games. You want Joey Bart to, you know, catch about 100. Buster catches about 50. You throw him at first, and you let him DH.
Plus, you know that Farhan loves guys who can play multiple positions. At Camp Grabass in Sacramento before he joined the big club, Joey Bart was playing a lot of first base. So, and it's not just the Giants. All the teams, they're camps now. They don't have games, real games. It's just like, hey, can you play? We need to have a scrimmage here. It's Camp Grabass across the major, so I'm not just taking shots at the Giants.
Yeah.
But Joey Bart can play first base, so I think we'll see a lot of that next year. And maybe it doesn't work out, but I think they'd love to see whether he can handle it. I'll tell you what, Dibs, you're a baseball guy. You've seen a lot of baseball games. Mauricio Dubon, I mean, he's a fine player, and he's playing center field, speaking of multiple positions. But yesterday, he got a man on first. There's a base at center field. He tries to throw the guy out at third, lets a trail runner advance to second. They both score. That can't happen. That cannot happen at this level.
Fun to blinking medals, Whitey, and those 90-foot mistakes, they can come back to bite you, especially in a short series if they go best of three against the Dodgers in that never-before-seen 1-8 scenario as we get down to the Sweet 16 in baseball. Oh, well, that was the NBA one. I should have come with the March Madness theme.
Still
I got locked
good.
Up
still good, dude.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Lo. It's good support. But, you know, and that was I think – one of the hallmarks of the early Gabe Kapler era, which is why some referred to him as Gaffler, because they were making at least one error per game. They were missing cutoff men. Steiny was way out of line.
Okay, but he's Whitey. Stop.
What?
You and Dibs, stop palling up this morning. Stop. Do not stop. Whitey, just let it go. Okay, I said, called you Stein. I'm sorry, Whitey. Whitey.
Wow.
Can I do it? Yeah. Can I say it one more time? One more time,
please.
Whitey.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Luckily, it's.
See, the first seven times, I was like, why is he saying. Oh. Now I understand. Yeah. Babe Ridge series did. Yeah, you know what? I've been around long enough to appreciate the fact that both teams are still here because it wasn't that long ago. One team is going to leave. And I know since the Giants got the new park, that's been that. But in the 70s, it looked like the A's were all but gone. The Giants, of course, in the 90s, they were going to go to St. Petersburg. They're both still here. And every time we have a Bay Bridge series, no matter how the teams are doing, I take a moment to reflect on that and be grateful.
Yeah. I'm grateful, too. It's just a little bit bittersweet that you can't go out to the Collie tonight and enjoy it because nothing like full houses at the Coliseum. And I know a lot of them are Giants fans, and A's fans resent the notion that Giants fans are needed to fill their park, but it's a fact. Until you get to Howard Terminal, and I believe the groundbreaking is going to be in 2088, according to my last estimates here as an Oakland resident. I can't confirm that date, nor can I deny it, but at the Coliseum, Lo, when you get it full, even though the bathrooms with the trough can't handle the load and the lines for concessions are too long and the concourses are too narrow, it's still pretty darn fun.
That's right. It's still home.
It really is. And it's been home for the Raiders, unfortunately, left, but the A's. And it's still a neat place and has some great memories, some very fond memories in that park. When you guys were talking about, you know, Farhan, and you're talking about, you know, what he's did as a GM, you know, and managing and looking at who he brought in, Kapler. And we talk about mistakes and we talk about those things and we say, okay, what can coaches do? And last night, I'm, you know, kind of digressing here, but I watched when I was watching Cincinnati and the Browns, the first half, it's fourth down in one, and it's at midfield, and the Browns decide to go for it. They throw the ball to the flat to 80. He picks up like 20 yards, and you're like, what happened? I'm just watching and seeing coaching, and it's on every level, and you're like, man, you know that they're motioning across to see if you're playing man or zone. Once you knew it was man, you knew he was going to push up and rub. You pass things off. No checks in there. You know, and I know you guys are talking about how Kapler makes mistakes or coaching. What are they doing? I sometimes I look, guys, and I'm like, I'm watching it, especially in football, something that I watch very, very with a keen eye. And watching that play and watching the guy go down the sideline and pick up 20 yards on fourth down, you pass that off. You get wider. Don't let anybody get right in the widest DB. You pass because you know it's turn that into zone. You stop down. You shut down these plays. But sometimes I know we look at it, and I know it's tough sometimes for managers and coaches because, you know, people are going to, you know, critique them so hard. I feel sometimes for these guys, the Kaplers and the guys that, you know, you look at and you say, man, what kind of a management, what are they doing? But it's tough, man, being in those situations, because I saw a lot of times last night, even a lot of times in football, these coaches, some of the mistakes they make is like, wow, I can't believe they're doing that.
Yeah, I'm with you, Lo. It's not always the manager's or the coach's fault, like Dubon yesterday. You got to know, I mean, a guy, if I'm playing the slow-pitch softball and the guy does that, I'm like, hey, you know what? Don't throw it to third base. So it's not always the manager's fault. It's like Steven. Hey, if you're, the British accent is kind of, you know, it's kind of ground under repair, you don't do it for 7 minutes on the air, right?
Yeah.
And speaking of...
Yeah.
It's time now for the six-pack.
Grab a seat. It's time to have a six-pack with Coz, Lo, and Dibs. We answer the six pressing questions of the day.
Welcome in with Whitey, Lo, and Dibs. Hey. This is the six-pack. No, I'm not going to do that for the entire time. That's reserved solely for 5:50 on Fridays with the pregame show Premier Plays of the Week. Anyway, as we open the first of this six-pack... Whitey, I don't know if you saw this yesterday, but Josh Donaldson of the Minnesota Twins hits a home run, then kicks some dirt onto home plate as he's running into home plate, and the umpire ejects him, kicks some more dirt on it. Donaldson's out of the game. What do you make of that? A guy getting ejected on a home run.
Yeah, you can't do that at this level. I mean, it's tough enough. It's tough enough for us to watch. We need baseball. We need the stars, right? So don't look for reasons to throw these guys out. It's not about you, Blue. If I'm going to watch the Twins, and I know they're having a nice year and they're a nice team, Josh Donaldson's one of the reasons, so please don't throw him out of the game. Huh? That's the reason we're watching is because of people like him.
I mean, he shouldn't have kicked dirt on home plate, Whitey. I think that's where...
Thank you.
That's where we should go out with that. I mean, what's the point of that? As we open the second
express.
Of this.
I'm with you, Whitey.
Yeah,
I'm with you, Whitey.
Thank you, Lo.
We open the second of this six-pack. Dibs,
doing too much.
Cleveland Browns fans, they filled the stadium with 6,000 fans last night, and they still had a brawl. Is this proof that just America, we can't have nice things?
Yes, that's the proof is in the pudding, and in this case, it's dog pound pudding. I wouldn't eat it. I would go ahead and push that aside. But you got Browns fans throwing hands, and shout out the security for just standing around there. If you look at the video, there's between 6 and 8 yellow-jacketed either security or police, yet this guy is able to get off a quick two-piece on the other Browns fan who kind of spills over. And shout out the Nick Chubb jersey-wearing guy who's in the second tier watching, holding his 24-ounce can without a spill as he gets close to the fray. He backs away. The fray, back away. Fray, back away.
Nothing better than a guy who can at least hold the beer and keep it upright without any spillage.
Shout out Walder Frey from Game of Thrones.
Nice.
And the Red Wedding.
How'd that work out for him?
Kill them all!
As we move on to the third.
Great, great, great moment in Game of Thrones. Unreal.
Excellent. As we move on to the third of this six-pack. Whoa, Joe Burrow threw it 14 times in that final drive, even though the game was clearly out of hand. Is that something that the coaching staff goes over with their rookie quarterback? Like, hey, we may not win this game, but we're still going to treat it like a two-minute drill.
Absolutely. Don't you want to see what you have? When you buy a car, you don't just say, okay, I'm going to test drive the car, and you go 55. That's why they wrote the song, I Can't Drive 55. You got to open it up and let it see what the young guys go. You like that, huh, Whitey? You like how I slid that, weave that in, rub it, slap it down?
Yeah.
You know what? Yes, it's great to see that young rookie open it up. Even though the game was in the ballot, we understood it was still good to see what you have by young Joe Burrows. Loved what he did.
I mean, two games in a row where they treated the final drive like a two-minute drive, and he did look pretty good. As we move on to the fourth of the six-pack. Whitey, LeBron James, he says his respect for the Denver Nuggets is, quote, out of this world. Do you think that the Nuggets even have a shot in this series?
The Nuggets have no shot because you just think if you're Adam Silver, right? First of all, you got issues with, you know, it's like your hair and probably concerned about that. But more importantly, Miami's probably going to advance to the finals, right? Miami's probably going to get in there. So do I want, here I am, my finals, I'm going to be competing with the NFL. I'm going to be competing with baseball. Do I really want the Miami Heat against the Denver Nuggets in the finals? I'm sure LeBron is quite sincere when he says that, and I don't blame him at all for this. It's out of his hands. There's no way the NBA is going to allow Denver to win. I think if they played a legitimate
series, Clippers.
They'd have a shot. They'd have a two. I like Denver
Clippers.
Against the Clippers. The Clippers, I didn't think the Clippers were getting to the finals. So anyway, yeah, Denver is good enough to, they'd have like a, normally maybe a 20% chance to win this series. But given the fact that the NBA doesn't want Denver against Miami, they have no chance. Sorry, Steven. That's the reality of the situation.
How dare you? I said skinny Jokic was going to be the key to the Nuggets in these playoffs, and that take actually paid off, and I think it's going to be the key here against the Lakers as we move on.
You got that from me. You got that from me, Steven.
I said that a long time ago. As we move on to the fifth of the six-pack. Dibs, the U.S. Open is underway at Winged Foot Golf Club. Thomas Peters was at the leaderboard through 11. He's 4-under right now, but Justin Thomas is the one everyone is waiting for. I just want to know how you're feeling about your pick for Xander Schauffele, as you so picked yesterday. He is currently at 1-under through 5 in the second round today.
Xander fits the profile of the type of golfer who can win this championship because we know it's a long course and we know the rough is unbelievably thick and prodigious. So you need somebody who can stripe it long, but also has the accuracy to stay in the short grass. Xander Schauffele is on the cusp of being a major champion. He's sitting right in the mix right now, and you got Peters at 6, Thomas yet to tee off at 5. The winner of this championship is going to be closer to 1-over or even par. So make your pars on Friday, boys. Make your pars on Saturday. And Sunday, hold on for dear life.
And hopefully Matthew Wolf is in that final group as well. Love watching him play. As we move on to the last of the six-pack. Low, apparently Mike Tyson nearly knocked out his trainer while preparing for his exhibition fight against Roy Jones Jr. Are you still taking the 54-year-old Mike Tyson to win this fight?
Duh.
Great take.
Duh. That, great. And of course, I know this is... You like that, Whitey? Rack him. Look, I know this exhibition fight, and they're thinking, okay, him and Roy's just going to pity-pap. He's going to absolutely take Roy Jones' head off. Roy Jones got a glass chin like Glass Joe. Remember that boxing game, Dibs, you played? And Glass Joe was one of the guys, was one of the first guys you knocked out. Mike Tyson... Roy Jones is actually crazy getting in the ring with Mike Tyson. These guys are going to be throwing some serious leather, even though they're old, past their prime, shouldn't be doing this. Somebody going to sleep.
And afterwards, who knows? Roy Jones could be saying,
I broke my back.
Spinal.
As we close out.
Spinal.
The six pack here on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you, Steven. Thank
Spinal.
You.
Spinal.
Smartest listeners in radio, 888-957-9570 from the 209. The Coliseum is a dump, but it's my dump. Yeah, the Bay Bridge series. Tonight, Barry Zito joining us at 9. And coming up next, how much can Sanu do to keep the Niners from 0-2? We'll find out from our 95.7 The Game 49er insider, Cam Inman. He joins us next. Whitey Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.